Okay. But I tell you, hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone who takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them to do to you. If you love those who love you, love yourself, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to be repaid, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full, but have your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told a parable, can a blind man lead a blind man? Well, they now both fall into a pit. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like the teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out that speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother. Here ends the reading.
Are they going to sing, or are they going to? Oh, come on up, kids. I thought that was yes. Okay, we're going to even this, all the kids for even for children's sermon. Come on down. Just grab the front row. If you're part of the group singing, you can come over here to this side. That's all I was waiting for. Just sit right in that chair, and you can watch the little kids. Sit right in that front row, unless you're singing. Go sit, stand where you're supposed to stand. If you're one of the singers, go stand there. Oh, it's you guys right here. Right here, so you can sit in the front row and watch. And there's some more seats over there if you want to sit on that side. You can stay here too, Grandma.
And ye shall hear the story of a man that we all hold dear. Jonah was a preacher and he preached real good. Everybody knew him in the neighborhood. Well, there's this town where the dudes were bad. That's not cool and it made God sad. God is love, but God is just, and he had it up to here with Nineveh. It's a whale of a story, yo ho ho. Jonah didn't swim and Jonah didn't row. God prepared that fish, you see. Jonah made history.
Words are on the screen if you want to sing along, please do.
God told Jonah, go preach to that town. They must repent or I'll tear it down. Jonah said, Lord, don't send me. So he boarded a ship and he tried to flee. Steady as she goes, sailors man them oars, or ye shall perish in this treacherous storm. The ship was tossed and the wind blew hard. Jonah's overboard and the captain said, arr. It's a whale of a story, yo ho ho. Jonah didn't swim and Jonah didn't row. God prepared that fish, you see. Jonah made history. Saved and the sea grew calm. Jonah sank deep and his breath was gone. But a big old fish that God prepared swallowed Jonah and his life was spared. In the belly of the whale he spent 3 days. It was dark, it stunk, and he was afraid. He said, "Lord, I'll prophesy to that town." So the fish spit him out on solid ground. It's a whale of a story, yo ho ho. Jonah spun gravel for a mile or so. He preached, they listened and repented, you see. Jonah made history. Ahoy, mates!
Ahoy, captain!
Shiver me timbers, there she blows! Arr.
Here. Let's stay here for the children's sermon. That's all right. Squeeze together a little bit. Let them in. Wiggle. You can squeeze a little or sit on the floor. It's fine. I'm going to tell you a true story, only I'm going to tell it to you by kind of acting it out at the same time. It's a story about a guy named Julio Diaz. Okay? He was Hispanic, Julio Diaz, okay? And he was walking home from work, and he was having a wonderful day, and it was cold outside, and he's whistling and going, he's getting ready to go to work, and he was going to come home from work, he was going to stop at his favorite restaurant where he always gets supper because he lives alone, and he was walking along, and suddenly somebody came up to him, "Where's my knife?"
No,
you're way too violent. Wait. we acted it out verbally. There we go. Just a threat. Here comes the wallet.
Hey, give me your wallet now.
Here's the wallet.
Give me your wallet.
No problem.
Don't give me no problem.
And as he began to walk away, Julio shouted at him and said, "Hey, wait a minute. If you're going to be out robbing all night, why don't you take my coat too? Because you look awfully cold." And he handed Julio his coat. And he said, "Instead, why don't you let me take you out for supper?" And the guy said, "Well, we'll see." And so Julio invited the man, and they walked over to Julio's favorite restaurant. And when they got there, everyone said, "Hi, Julio. How are you?" And he had never seen people be that nice before. And so they had supper, and Julio and him talked about what he needed in his life, why he was out robbing, and why he had become so wicked. And Julio won a friend. He doesn't know how to close it, rookie.
I don't play with
knives. Oh, hey, wait, don't laugh too much. Anyway, Julio made a friend that night. And now you have to give it back. And he said, as the night wore on, he looked at the guy again and he said, "Can I have my wallet so I can pay the bill, please?" And Julio, and he took out the money, all right? And he dug around and he paid the bill. And then he gave the burglar, he said, "Here, you just keep that and we won't have to worry about that. And could I please have your knife so you wouldn't do anything else bad with it tonight?" And Julio took his knife, and the robber left with his coat and walked away. When Julio got home, he told his mom what had happened. And his mom goes, "Oh, Julio, you've always been like that. You've been so nice and so kind. And you have learned how to do that from little on." Now, one of the things in that story that we're going to learn about in the sermon, all right, is that sometimes there's a time to stand or fight or stop at things, and sometimes there's a time to not only give them your wallet, but give them your coat too. Because the reason the thief's heart changed is he had never met anybody in his life as nice as Julio. No one had ever been nice to him like that. And Julio and him became very good friends. and Julio was able to help him. Now, that's a true story. But here's what I want you to listen now. I'm going to give you your treat because you all like a treat, right? Okay. And your treat has got enough pieces that you can share them. All right? So you have to do what Julio did. Share as many of the pieces as you can. Can you do that for me? All right? Good. All right. First the visitors get to come first. All right? They get to come up first. There you go. Grab one, honey. Yep. There you go. Or almost visitor. There you go. Or the littlest ones. Littlest ones. Hurry up. Grab one. There you go. There you go. Grab one. Thank you. There you go. There you go. Good. Hey, knife toting daddy. All right, take one for your dad. You're welcome. You're welcome. Oh, you didn't get one? I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. I only have one left. Wait, I got other candy, though. Here. You get three pieces of this one because there's only one of the other. Grab three of the things. Grab three. Any three you want. Yes, you can each grab one, too. You were both so polite. Sure. You got to share that little. Can you find something you like in there? There's M&Ms. That's all there is in there, hon. Is that okay? Take one more. You get three. There you go. Give it to Mom. She'll like it. My thief didn't take the $20. Change of heart. I never thought of showing you how to close the knife. It's designed to stay open. It's I think Dave started off with a kind of a proper thought in the sense that he goes, this is a tough section. It's not easy, an easy section of Scripture to receive. And part of it is because there are multiple ways that we receive this kind of Scripture. In other words, one of the ways, obviously, is, as Dave pointed out, it's a law section. Do this, do this, do this. And all of the do's are pretty intense. They have a significant amount of weight when you start looking at this. Love your enemies, bless those who hate you. And you start reading through a list like that, you feel an immense amount of expectation placed upon you. Now, the reason I want you to understand how you get into this is the sermon or a portion of a sermon that Jesus gave, and it very intentionally is designed to do different things in people's hearts. You heard me at the beginning of the service say, the only one that knows why you're here today for sure is the Lord. The only one that knows what you need for sure is the Lord. And in the day, in the hour that we spend together, the Lord can minister to you through a song, through a word, through something you read, through something you saw the kids do, or whatever it might be, and he may minister to you in a way that the person sitting next to you, no matter how close he or she is, did not hear or see. Because it's the nature of our hearts to be unique before God. And there's things you need to hear, feel, and know differently than your wife does or your child does. And so as we sit in a text like this, the text allows us to begin to recognize a multiple of things, even in the tough language, all right? I want you to love your enemies. I want you to do good to those who hate you. I want you to bless those who curse you. I want you to pray for those who mistreat you. That's just one verse. Another way of understanding it. I love that verse. You want to know why? It's telling me who my God is. That's the will of God. You want to know who his enemy is? Me. While we were yet dead in our sin, while we were yet his enemies, he sent his son to die for me. Oh my goodness. I hate sometimes when he won't let me do all the nasty things I want to do. You ever had that moment? You know, I really want to cheat. I really want to lie. I really want to steal. I really want to speed. Of course, none of you ever feel those feelings. But you understand that process. Look at the next one. Bless those who curse you. I've never said God. Blanket. Have you? Oh, wait. Have I dragged the name of the Lord badly in a rotten situation in an inappropriate way? Yes. I look at the next one and I go there. Pray for those who mistreat you. What sin do you think held Jesus to the cross besides my own? I held, and my sin held Jesus to the cross. And he paid for all the things that I'm inconsistent, unfaithful about, and everything else. And here's the miracle. And I look at this verse, and I can receive it, and I look at it, and I go, thank you, God, that you still intercede for me, a sinner that I am. Right? The Holy Spirit intercedes for you. The Lord prays for you. You are brought up to the Father by God himself, by the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you begin to understand, this verse is not just, Bruce, this is how you should behave, which is a perfectly acceptable reality, and it's not inaccurate at all. But there is another side of this which communicates to me, this is who my God is, and I am everything rotten, all right? Have I ever said something where God has had to turn the other cheek? Have I taken advantage of him where he makes my life good and I took his cloak and then I took his tunic also? And you start to go, oh my goodness, the thief, the robber, the criminal is me. You understand? I am that man. And the miracle, and here's the miracle, my God is the one who shows this unlimited mercy, grace, and encouragement and everything else that he gives us. And so we start to go through this and we begin to understand, I can also read it now another way. Okay? And the other way I can read it is this absolute judgment of failure. I haven't loved my enemies. You know what I like to do to enemies? I like to hurt them. You done that? I get a lot of pleasure out of hurting enemies sometimes. And all of a sudden this word goes, smacks me. Do good to those who hate you. It's kind of interesting, the phrase, do good. Really, Lord? Yeah, I want you to treat people the way you'd like to be treated. You mean that verse is in this section too? Uh-huh. God, I don't want to be nice to people. They're a pain in the butt. They're inconsistent. They're unreliable. They betray. They disappoint. They wear me down, you know? And God says, no, this is what I need you to be. And we can read this section and come under absolute correct conviction. Because that's part of what the sermon's supposed to do. So I have a row over here that needs to hear the mercy, the power, and the grace of God and celebrate and with tears in their eyes, lift up hands of praise to God and say, God, you are so, 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 so good. And there's people that need to hear, you have not sincerely repented at all. You never deal honestly with your sin. You hide it. You discover ways of pretending you're not that bad. And I'm pointing out to you, you have done all of these things and you haven't even been sincere in dealing with them. And you feel the weight of the conviction come in on your life. And you begin to understand, here's God trying to guide you. The other way that you can receive it is that it begins to tell you how to live. There's a part of this that says, anyone ever slap you? Don't picture slap anymore. This is what I always used to picture. Right? It means punch in the jaw. Okay? So picture a good hit. If you saw the movie last Sunday that we showed Unbroken, he had a whole group of prisoners that had to punch this single prisoner repeatedly in the jaw. First guy, second guy, and there were probably 35 or 40 people lined up to punch him. That's what the commander of the prisoner of war camp commanded them to do. And I go, here's the miracle. God looks at me and says, turn the other cheek. And I go, really, Lord? You mean, that's your will for me in this situation? Yeah. But they hit me. I know. Turn the other cheek. Just do it. Just do it. Oh, Lord, this is such a requirement of faith. It's so cool. Oh, this is really what you want me to do in this situation. Yes. Now, not every situation when you get punched in the mouth, you turn the other cheek. I mean, I'm glad when the police come, someone's punching me in the mouth, they stop them. Okay? I understand that. I understand in the military there's time when you don't turn the other cheek. And I think God understands that too. But there's times, and if you examine Jesus' life, where he stands there and they do slap him, punch him, and he stands his ground, but he doesn't repay evil for evil. And God whispers, he said, can you go through this section and start figuring out my will? All right, you know. And he says, in case you haven't, he goes on to do some other things of explaining this down below. It goes, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even pagans and unbelievers love people who love him. Here's his question. Can you love the people that hate your guts? Oh, God, it's really what you want. He goes, watch what it does. Julio, can you love someone who took your money? Julio, could you love them so much as to give them even more than what they asked for? Julio, would you do it? And he does it. All right? And in the framework of that story, you begin to watch a different scenario take place. You begin to understand that as we're reading this text, those three ways of how we read it, how it's meant to minister to us, how it's meant to either convict us or show us the way or give us the guidance or set us free by the Holy Spirit, you start to understand the next parts of it where it goes in 32, the loving. If you love one who only loves you or loves you, what credit is that? Even the sinners do that. They love people who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what's the big deal about that? Everybody does that. You don't have to be saved or born again or believe in Jesus or God or anything if you believe that. And it goes on, it says, even the sinners do that. Then 34, if you lend from those you expect repayment from, big deal. What bank doesn't do that? Can you lend and not expect anything in payment? Try that one. Try that one. And he goes on and says, all right, even the sinners lend to sinners. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting repayment, getting anything in return. Then a promise. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked like you, Bruce. I love that verse because it kind of makes it all make sense. What is he asking me to live like? Well, on the one hand, he's telling you who he is. When you're wicked, inconsistent, unfaithful, and wretched, and stupid, and cruel to him, and those he loves, and the things he cherishes and values, he's still there, turning the other cheek, making a difference in your life, lending to you, expecting nothing in repayment, and everything else he does. You have another part where you begin to understand, I'm not any of these things, Lord. I deserve nothing but condemnation and judgment in my behavior, actions, and behaviors, or attitudes. And you begin to understand, oh Lord, how could you possibly love a man like me? I am a wretched sinner. And also you walk over to this side and you begin to understand, would you like to know what I'd do in this situation? Yeah, Jesus, what would it be like? What would Jesus, oh, there's my bracelet. What would Jesus do? Remember those years? When we went WJG, whatever that was. Right? What would Jesus do? Well, here's the answer. I'd love unlovable people. I'd turn the other cheek. Can you do it for me? Oh, wow. Why? Because then people will see me in you. When they look at you, they're going to look, Julio, who are you? How can you behave like that? Why would you love? Didn't you see? I had a knife. I would have cut you if you would not have given me your wallet. Julio, take my coat. What? Take my coat, Julio. There's a whole lot of different things that are out there. And here's the group. They gave him the coat. You understand, as we leave this text, as you finish this section, it's a sermon from Jesus. And like a song or like anything else, every one of us has those different parts in our hearing, in our hearts that need to be spoken to today. There's a part of us that needs to come at a conviction. You've been lying, deceiving, keeping things quiet, pretending it's okay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's time to get clean. On the other hand, you still think God's so angry at you, he could never love you or forgive you, and you go, no! Turn the other cheek, go ahead. Punch me again. Jesus, why do you let me punch you? Because you wouldn't have a chance. I love you that much. There are some of us who pretend nothing matters. I can continue to live like I'm living. God will just let it go and turn. And God goes, no, I want you to come under conviction. I want this to just rattle you. I want you to be grabbed by it, and I want it to hold you. And you start to understand, as this little phrase goes, then you'll be, your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. All right? He is merciful to the ones that are sinning and need to repent, just as your Father is merciful. You go and do the same. And so in the conglomeration we call a congregation or a church or a fellowship or the family of God, each one of those has a role to play in your and my life as we start to look at this. And he goes on from there and he says, don't get into the attitude of judging. Don't judge. The little flavor of that in verse 37 there. All right? Don't make distinguishing. Well, Julio, he's a Hispanic. You know, what can you expect? And it was a pretty tough neighborhood. And, you know, that's where people do stuff like that. And oh, did you think God doesn't go to the tough neighborhoods? Or did you think that someone else can't actually live in the power of the Holy Spirit? I read and heard that story, and I go, wow. He really lived it out. And he took that chance. And then he invested himself in the man that threatened to kill him. And I stepped back and I said, will there ever be a story written about you? It might be a 2-minute story, a 3-minute story, whatever it took. Will there ever be a story about you? Not in the sense of being bragging or anything, but in a sense of conviction. Lord, what do I do that's worth telling the story for anybody else? Not so that you can give glory to me, but so that you can come under the power of God, the Spirit of God, and say, oh Lord, I want that same spirit that was in Julio to be in me. I want that kind of heart, even in those impossibly difficult situations. And so you begin to understand the flavor of that as it goes on. Don't judge. Don't be condemning. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. And you go, we always want something else, right? If I forgive you, will you forgive me? No, I'll hate you forever. Okay, I still forgive you. And I'm still sorry. You don't have to live with what other people have, but you do have to do what God's calling you to do. And so we get done with this, and each one of those stories, each one of those attitudes or receptions are taking place. Are you the one that needs to be scolded because you're so unforgiving? Are you following your own path? Are you one justifying your immorality, inconsistencies, lies, deceptions, and everything else? Because as long as you don't tell the rest of the world, as long as you don't let God see it, then somehow it doesn't really exist. And you begin to go, oh my goodness, am I really like that? And the answer is yes, we all can be like that. And so he goes on from there, and he puts on, he says, given it will be given to you, even your money. You understand? Just give it. Let it go. It's not yours anyway, is it? I never quite thought about that, but no, it's not. And you go on, he says, and good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured out into your lap. You understand? All of these kind of very difficult sections end with blessing, encouragement. They end with, if you're in the middle of conviction, please understand, it's all been paid for. You belong to me. But Lord, I'm such an I know. Let's go. That kind of lesson I've taught you before, present, future, where he starts where you're at. Then he finishes it all off. He said, can a blind man lead a blind man? And I was trying to figure out how I could do that today. You know, blindfold two kids, and I take the one blindfolded kid, and I have another blindfolded kid, and I put a chair in front of them and wait them to trip over a chair. And I thought that would be funny. I'd do that with high school kids. But little kids, it's meaner. But you get the idea. How can you lead someone else if you haven't lived it even for a moment in your life? How can you tell someone about a testimony of the mercy and the grace of God if you've never forgiven when somebody didn't deserve to be forgiven? Now, please understand, God isn't telling you to forgive somebody and then go right back into a horrible relationship or, you know, junk like that. But he's talking about the attitude with which you live your life. One of the things you have to understand is that, you know, I told you a true story about myself. I used to work at Wiley's office equipment store. And I was in charge of setting up large office buildings. You know, they'd be a room, you know, three times as big as this, empty. And I had to put all the desk, chairs, walls, everything, separators in. That was my job. And I had one, two, three people working with me. And I would pinch my fingers, drop a desk on my toe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the things that normal, uncoordinated people do once in a while. And I was talking, riding in the car. I was actually back at the warehouse. And a guy walks up to me, and he's a younger kid, probably about 20. You know, I'm about a little 3 years, 4 years older than him. And he looks at me and says, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, why don't you swear? Well, what do you mean? He said, I watch you pinch your fingers, drop a desk on your toe, and you don't swear. I said, first of all, I'd never been asked that before, so I was kind of stunned. And I said, well, I certainly know all the words. I'm a Christian. It's not what I do. It's not what I think about. It's not the way I express myself. And for a split second, you began to understand it was a tiny, very, very tiny. Here's a Julio moment. Here's a Harmon movement, okay, moment. But it's right there. You go, oh, my goodness. There was something they saw, something they experienced, something they tasted. There wasn't a judgmental attitude. There wasn't an arrogance. There wasn't a belittling. There wasn't a hammering. There, you know, all those things. And there wasn't simply the outburst that the rest of the world would throw out when somebody does something either incorrect and you blankety blank and yell at them, or you do something to yourself and you use those kind of words. And in that moment, you begin to understand what God is calling you to do. You can't lead people if you're blind yourself. But the moment you see, the moment you get it, I don't know if you've ever watched this. I told you I like to watch YouTube once in a while. I was watching, have you ever watched when people can for the first time hear again? Oh, I was crying. I did. I was looking for something for today's sermon. I was in studying. I'm going, I got to find something. I came across this. It happened to be a little kid, little baby, you know. And he's just sitting there going. But it was filled with all these men and women, different ages going. And they can't help. They just start to cry. Her husband looks at her and goes, I love you. For the first time, she hears his voice. And the baby, for the first time, hears his name. And you're crying because that's what God wants to do with us. He says, you sit in the right place, but you don't hear. You don't hear. It's you see my lips moving, wah-wah, 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 and you don't get it. You walk away from the mercy and the grace and the power of God, and all you've done is heard wah, 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 wah. And you go, I was so happy, though. They played a song I liked. So church was good. All right? And I'm going, God whispers and says, let me open your ears. Let me help you to hear like you've never heard before. Or they got the same one with eyesight when they can start to see some of the new things they have. But that miracle of what God's trying to do. And he says this. Why do you walk around staring at the speck of sawdust? That little piece of sin which they actually, in Scripture, it's called a twig. It's not a speck. I don't know why they got speck, but every translation I had was, or every Greek thing I looked up was twig or something bigger. And then he compares it with the log. Why do you do that? Julio, you're not going to take my wallet. Right? Julio, yeah, here's my wallet. Here's my coat. What else can I get you? How about supper? And in that moment, you start to understand God is calling us to respond to life in such a different way that it becomes visible. Someone walks up to you and says, why don't you swear? Someone walks up to you and says, why are you nice to me? Why do the people in the restaurant say hello, Julio, when you walk in? Why do they talk to you like you're a human being? I've never experienced people talking to me like that would have been that burglar, that thief, that the guy with the knife. And so here he is, lesson after lesson after lesson is being taught. And what's Julio doing? Is he hammering on him, beating him down, calling him a worthless, no good, whatever word he wanted to use? No. Julio is demonstrating just the opposite. I respect people that are in need. I come to the rescue of those people. Who am I talking about? God. That's your God, who died for every one of your sins, who guides you now so that you can be him out into the rest of the world. Today we have that opportunity to hear these texts and out of them gather and pull that part that we need to hear. Pray with me. Lord, I've been and continue to be every one of the three. I'm overwhelmed when I start to understand that you call me to be obedient in areas that I can't comprehend, in ways that make absolutely no human sense, that are contrary to everything I am in the flesh. And yet, Lord Jesus, I've watched you tear down walls. I've watched you bring healing. I've watched you change my heart and give testimony to that before my brothers and sisters today. You are more than able, Lord, to accomplish your purposes. Help this sermon to be as powerful as it was meant to be. Help us to hear and receive what we needed to hear, and then to read it again with a new set of ears, and to read it again with a new set of ears until we pull out of it everything that's in it, Lord. Come and bless us. Use it to convict us, guide us, and empower us to fully trust in your mercy and grace. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.